Daf Tesvov. And we're up to Toshma. So let's see if we can find Toshma. It's approximately 15 lines down from the top of Tesvov and Aleph. And again, you may recall that there's one opinion, and the Gemara is trying to support that opinion, that Beit Shammai Osu Kidivrein, that they actually married off in a Yibum marriage a Tzaras Erva to the Yovel. Toshma, Maisa Bibito Shel Ram Gamliel, Shahoisa Nesua Le'aba Achiv. Okay, so Ram Gamliel has a brother by the name of Abba, and Rav Gamliel's daughter is married off to Abba. So the uncle is married to the niece, Umeis, and unfortunately Abba died, below Bonim, without any children. V'yibem Rav Gamliel as Tzorosa. And Rav Gamliel, following in the footsteps of Beit Shammai, was miyabem the Tzora of his brother Abba, who was the Tzaras Erev. So we see clearly a raya that Asu Kidivrayan, that Beit Shammai actually implemented their, it wasn't just a theoretical ruling, but they actually followed through with Yibum. So the Gemara rejects this with Tisbara. Are you going to tell me that Rav Gamliel followed through with the Psak of Beit Shammai, even if Asu Beit Shammai Kedivrayim, Rabbi Gamliel mitalmidei Beit Shammai? In other words, there's no proof whatsoever from Rabbi Gamliel, because he was a Talmud of... No, I'm sorry. We read this with a question mark. Rabbi Gamliel mitalmidei Beit Shammai? Certainly, Rabbi Gamliel would not, even if I concede that Beit Shammai implemented their psak, but Rabbi Gamliel there must be something going on over here, and it's not a case of Tzaras Erev. If it was a case of Tzaras Erev, certainly Rabbi Gamliel would have paskin like Beis Hillel. He was actually a descendant of Hillel. Certainly, he was noy ke Beis Hillel. Ella, but rather we have to assume that Shiny Bito Shel Ram Gamliel to Island is Havi. That in fact the daughter of Ram Gamliel did not fall for Yibum. Why? Because the law is that an Islandist does not fall for Yibum. So even though the Islandist was an Erva, we already learned in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that she doesn't pater up to Tzara because she doesn't have an afila for Yibum. And the Mishnah says that Kol Araya Shenimtsu Islandis is Tzarasei Mutaros. And that's why it was permissible for Rav Gamliel to marry the Tzara of his daughter. So the Gemara asks for Midik Tani Sefer. In this Brisa it says, Acherim Omrim Bito Shem Rav Gamliel Islandis Hoysa. So they quote a second opinion, a dissenting view, that the reason why Rav Gamliel married the Tzara of his daughter is because his daughter was an islandess. Michlal, apparently, if it's a dissenting view, we can derive and deduce the conclusion that Tanakama Sover, according to Tanakama, Lav islandess also. She was not an islandess. So if the Bas of Rav Gamliel is not an islandess, then how could Rav Gamliel marry the Tzara? We're really in a Tzara here. So the Gemara answers that even according to the Tanakama, before island is high, so the Acherim, and it means that the Bas of Rav Gamliel was certainly an islandess. Don't misunderstand that it's only the Acherim who hold that the Bas of Rav Gamliel was an islandess. Even the Tanakama, in his version of this, in his transmission, held that the daughter of Rav Gamliel is an islandess. And that's why Rav Gamliel could marry the Tzara of his own daughter. So what now is the machlokes between the Acherim and the Tanakama? It's going to be a very specific machlokes about the scope of the heter of Tzaras Bito Islands. What's the case? Hikir ba v'lo hikir ba ikir beinayim. The Tanakhama holds that the heter of the tzara only applies in a case of lo hikir ba. In other words, Abba, right, the late brother of Rav Gamliel, did not know, he did not recognize, he had no way of knowing that his wife, meaning the daughter of Rav Gamliel, was an islandess. When he married her, he had no clue that she was an islandess. And therefore, when we find out years and years down the line, maybe when she reaches the age of 20, that she's in fact an islandess, the kiddushin of Abba to this woman, the daughter of Rav Gamliel, is a mekach tos. And he was, in effect, never married to her. And that's why Rav Gamliel could marry the tzara of his daughter, because his daughter was never an erva of yibum, of an afila for yibum. And therefore, the tzara was never a tzara's erva of a bas. So that's the story of Rav Gamliel according to the Tanakhama. Rav Gamliel was miyabim the tzara once again because of lo hikirba. Because Abba did not know that he was marrying an islandess. And then we're going to say that when we find out she's an islandess, Igloi Milsa, that she never was his wife and they were in tzaros, and therefore the tzara is not a tzara's erva. And that's why Rav Gamliel was mekayim the mitzvah of Yibu. What would be in a case of Hikerba? According to the Tanakhama, in the case of Hikerba, where Abba married a woman, again the daughter of Rav Gamliel, she had great yichus, but he knew that up front that she was an islandess. In that case, the marriage is valid under all circumstances, and the tzara of Abba is now a tzara's erva. Rav Gamliel would never have allowed himself to marry that tzara because she's a tzara's erva. Aval acherim, according to acherim, even in a case of hikirba, even if Abba, the brother of Rav Gamliel, knew when he married this woman, the daughter of Rav Gamliel, that she was an islandess, and therefore his kedushin is certainly not a mekach tos. He was well aware of the fact. He knew the facts on the ground. He knew what kind of marriage he was getting into. He was marrying an islandess. And aldas kein nesa'a. Nevertheless, there's no iser on the tzara for yibum. Why not? Because erva only patters up at tzara, the makom mitzvah, so that the islandess doesn't fall for yibum. There is no mitzvah. When there's a mitzvah and there's a nefila, a common, a partnership, a nefila for yibum for both an erva and a tzara, that's when the erva patters up a tzara. But in a case where the tzara doesn't fall for yibum, and the reason for that is because she's an islandess, then she doesn't patter up a tzara. And the honest truth is, this logic of the Acherim is so compelling, I don't begin to understand why the Tanakhama disagrees with this. Okay, the Tanakhama is correct. There's no Mekach Tos. It was Hikirba. But so what? There would be no Nefila for Yibum in a case of an islandess. So that remains an outstanding question. Jeff, do you by any chance have a note on this to try to explain why the Tanakhama would reject the Acherim here?
Okay, but according to the others, the very fact that they were co-wives at some point in time suffices to exclude the widow from Yibum. Thus, on the basis of this consideration alone, Rav Gamliel would still have been forbidden.
Excellent, that was said. Now, what about the Tanakhama?
In their opinion, the reason Rav Gamliel was allowed to do Yibum was that the erva was an islandess. So,
yeah, but what about the Tanakhama? That's what I need to know. What's the counter argument? I mean, that logic is so compelling. Yeah, I'm tempted to say that according to the Tanakhama, there isn't a fila for yibum, even of an islandess. But that's a pella, because the Torah in the Parsha of Yibum says Hashela, you know, that there was no vlat, you know, means there was a potential for a vlat.
Okay. Others reject the Tanakhama's explanation of Rabban Gamliel's behavior and assert instead that the Rabban Gamliel was permitted to perform Yibum with the co-wife of his daughter because his daughter was an Islamist. So that doesn't
matter. Right, that helps me again for the Acherim, but my problem is not the Acherim. Once I have the Acherim, I turn the tables around and I address the Tanakhama, who refused, in the case of Hegerba, to justify Rabbi Gamliel's being Miyabim, the tzar of his daughter. But why? I mean, even if it was Hegerba, okay, there's no Mekatos, but there's no Nefil for Yibu.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Yibu, no. Esema. Now the Gemara offers an alternative explanation for the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Acherim. And now we hold that the Tanakhama would maintain that Bito Sharagamliel was not an island. The Metzias is that she was not an island. So there must have been another reason, an alternative reason, to figure out why the tzara of Bito is not a tzara's erev, and why Rabbi Gamliel allowed himself to be miyabim the tzara of his daughter, if his daughter was not in fact an islandess. So we say the following, that Abba, the brother of Rabbi Gamliel, divorced the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel before he died. And by the way, that's very common, that a person gives a get to his wife before he dies so that she shouldn't have to fall for Yibum. Although in this case, well, yeah, it could be that there were other brothers. I don't know. Are there only two brothers, just Abba and Rabbi Gamliel? Maybe there's a third brother. Well, whatever it is, he gave a get, Abba gave a get to his shver's daughter, to his wife, before he died. So now, at the time of Abba's death, when the tzara falls for Yibum, she's not an erva. She's not a tzara's erva because the erva was divorced. Okay. So again, the bas is not an eshes achiv hames because she received a get from Achiv HaMes. So the Tzara is the only one who's falling for Yibum. Hence, Rabbi Gamliel was Miyabim. But now we have to understand the Acherim. Why would the Acherim, according to this interpretation, reject such a heter? Unless there's some sort of a Derabbanan Halacha going on over here. Notice the Acherim introduced this element of islandness into the equation, that the Bas of Rabbi Gamliel was in fact an islandness. Why is it necessary for them to inject that into this picture? Why not just inject a Gerish and a Get the way the Tanakhama does? So he writes here, Mishum Shekodem Naso Ha'aches Hatzara V'rakli Achra Mikan Giresh Es HaBas. In other words, the Tzara and the Bas at one moment in time, way before the death of the brother, were both married to the same husband, to Abba. So Abba marries the Tzara and Bas Rabban Gamliel subsequently. At that moment in time, the first wife that he married, Abba, the Tzara, was a Tzara's Erva. Then he divorces the Erva. Is Kanas Ulbasov Geresh Ika Benai. What happens if a man marries the Tzara and then he's Megarish the Erva subsequently before he dies? That's the machlokas between the Tanakhama and the Acherim. And this, in effect, is a sugya that we learned back on Daf Yud Gimel, which we have to review, but believe me. And the question there that we addressed was, When do we say that Gerushei HaErva are Matir the Tzara of the Erva? According to one opinion, it makes no difference whether he divorced her before he married the Tzara or even after he married the Tzara. It doesn't matter. Because Misa Mapelis, you remember that? Misa Mapelis. And if Misa Mapelis, at the time of the Misa, the Erva was no longer a Bas Yibam. She didn't fall into the category of Yibam because she already was a Grusha. However, there was another opinion, and according to that other opinion, it's Nisuin Mapilim. And since at the time of the Nisuin, there was already a Ptur of Tzara's Erva, because at the moment that he married the Erva, he was already married to the Tzara. So as far as the moment of Nisue HaErva concerned, we already have a status, an irreversible status of Tzara's Erva. So that's a machlokas here between the Tanakama and the Achirim. Iboy same. Another way of interpreting this machlokas between the Tanakama and the Achirim as to why the Tzaras Bito of Rav Gamliel was Muteres Liyibum. And again, we're holding that the Bas of Rav Gamliel is not an islandist. But we're talking about a case where Abba married Altnai. For example, let's say he said, I'm marrying you on the condition that you don't have any mumin, you don't have any blemishes in your body, or you don't have any nadarim that you're carrying with you. After he married her, and after he consummated the marriage, he finds out that the tnai was never fulfilled. Okay. Now, if a tnai is not fulfilled, then the maisa is batel. And that's going to be the simple way of understanding the Tanakhama. If I got that right, let me make sure I got that right. That the Tanakhama is going to say that batel tnai batel amaisa, and therefore the kiddushin of Abba to the Erva, meaning to Bas Rabbi Gamliel, is no longer valid. In fact, it never was valid because the tnai is oker the kiddushin l'mafreya. However, yesh tnai bebia ika benayim. So the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel is whether or not the tnai continues to be binding even after bia. According to Tanakhama, the tnai is still binding, and if the tnai is not mekuyam, the kiddushin are batel, and then the bia is a bias nus. So in such a case, Abba was never actually married to Bas Rav Gamliel. We only find that later when the tnai is batel, and therefore the tzara of Bas Rav Gamliel is not a tzara's erva. The Acherim hold ain tnai moel bebir, meaning the tnai is valid, but up until the moment he does bia. Once he does a bia, we are absolutely convinced that he doesn't want his bia to be a bias nus, and therefore he's mochel the tnai. He invalidates the tnai. And that leads us up to Masiv Rav Misharshia. But I would like to do a little bit of study here of the Yalkut Biurim. So John, you have the Yalkut Biurim, right? But I think, Jeff, you don't have it.
No.
All right, so we'll see how it goes. If necessary, we'll take a break. And we'll do some photocopy. So let's see what we can find. First of all, on page Kuf Tes Zayin in the Yalkut Biurim, on the left column on Kuf Tes Zayin, which is parallel to the Sugya Daf Tesvav that we just did, we have a paragraph that starts, Din Saras Islandis Lashita Sacherim Hikirba v'lo hikir ba ikar beinai. And the Gemara is telling us that the machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachamim revolves around an erva shehikir ba, which means that Abba knew very well that he was marrying an eyeless, and therefore there's no way that you can undermine his kedushin l'mafreya and call it a mekach tos. So Tanakama says that she patas hatzara, and the Achim say no. She doesn't patas hatzara because an islandess doesn't fall for evil. Hiksha kerenora are isa v'yushalmi shal Rabbi Meir asover sheptur tzara. Eino mishum litzrar elo klalu kol she'enato miyavni. I'm not pronouncing it right. Anyway, enato miyavim es tzoros. And this is a sugya. I don't know where. Okay. Af tzoros ervas islandis asura. Okay. Now, by the way, just the technical background here. Acherim is always identified as Rabbi Meir. But yet Rabbi Meir holds that a tzoras erva, who's an islandess, the erva is an islandess, is asura. Now let's just see why. I guess he's holding, again, like I said before, the only way of going here is to assume that an islandess does fall for evil. But there's no mitzvah of evil. And therefore she patters up the tzara. And yet here the Acherim are saying that if it was a case, even in a case of Hikerba, there's no patur of the tzara. V'inkein, Eich masika gemar shel acherim tzoras ervas islandis misya bemes. According to Rabbi Meir, there's no yibum. Says the Keren Ora that according to the Tanakama, afilu hikir bat sarasam uteres. L'acherim dafka below hikirva, so he switches it around. Epuch. Mishum shekidusheo mekach tos. But if there was no mekach tos, then the tzara is completely excluded from yibum, because the acherim are identified as Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a tzara patas an island is patas up a tzara. The yesh litmoa al dvar sharebi yushalmi lo nemar kein biderech hechrech el ketirut al shitas rav asi hasover shailin is poteres es tzorosa. Ah, see, we didn't know about this rav asi shehiksha yushalmi al shitas so mimash shanina b'mishna. The kulot shenim to islanders so say mutaros. Ravashi say that islanders poteres es sarasa. When here it says sarasa muteres. The alkach tirates, which I think the word tirates is referring to the Yerushalmi. Shem Mishnah leches b'shitas chacham. Av Rav Asi sover k'rav Rabbi Meir, Valkein Oser Bitsoras Islands. Okay, now. Av Alach lo kaimelon k'rav Asi. Okay, this is a whole structure. Let's see what we can do here. if we go a little bit backwards, okay, here on page Pei Vav, we have Omar Rav Yehuda on the bottom right. Omar Rav, Tsoras Sota Asura Tumak Sivba Karayas. Das Rashi Vitosu the Rov Rishonim Bishitas Rav Shesota Vitsarasa Pturos Af Minachalitza. Because the status of a sota is equal to that of an erev. We divrei atosus b'sota nire ki af p'tur hachalitza b'sota mekoro me'atuma d'chsibei k'arayis. Now he has a kasha the Rambam. Kol she'tzricha get me'abal. The Gemara establishes in Masechtas Sota a rule that if a woman needs a get, Tzricha Chalitza Me'ayovam. Notice there's an absolute parallel between get and Chalitza. So how can you tell me, Tosfos, that in the case of Sota, she doesn't need Chalitza because Tumak Sivbok Arayos, when the Gemara says, Kol Shetzricha Get, Tzricha Chalitza. And certainly a sota needs a get. The kasav she'ein l'taretz kindirei atosus shemikach she'tuma k'siv bakarayos yalfinon she'ein acholetzes. In other words, maybe if we apply the general principle, the klal of wherever you need a get, you need chalitza. But now we have Xeris HaKosuv to exclude the case of Sota from that klal, meaning that even though a Sota needs a get, nevertheless she does not need Chalitza, and that we derive from Tumak Sivba Karayis, that's not going to work. Why not? Sharei L'Gabi Tfisas Kiddushin Ein Dina Karayos. What does that mean, Tfisas Kiddushin? Oh, I get it. In Li'achar Shegirsha Baila, Chazar V'Kidsha is Tofsin Kiddushav. So you see that she's not really an Erva. If she had a din of an Erva, by virtue of the fact that she became a sota, then he would not be able to marry her. And yet, we know that he can marry her. So it's a strange kind of thing. On the one hand, you're telling me that the status of a sota, tumak siva karayos, and therefore she doesn't need, even chalitza. And on the other hand, you're saying no, that kiddushin tofsin bisota. And she's not considered an Erva. There's no Kedushin Tofsin in Erva, but here she's not an Erva. M. Kane, he says, Mara Isa Lidrosh Mituma Karayas Dafkalinian Afkas Zikasa. Notice we're going to say that she's excluded from Yibum and Chalitza because there's no Zika in the case of a Sota. Why? Because she's like an Erva, but Lolinian Tfisas Kedushah, but she's not an Erva. As far as his being Makadisha. You need a brisker tzvei dinim over here. Apparently there are two dinim. Let's just think out loud. What could be possibly two dinim over here? Just 1 second. I'll tell you what it is. As far as Yibum is concerned, we need... In order to achieve a zika for yibum, we need a full-fledged ishus. In the case of a sota, the ishus is incomplete. It's enough of an ishus that no one else can marry her until she gets a get. She's still technically married to her husband, but the ishus relationship is incomplete. You know, just like we speak about Kedushas Yisrael, you know, you can go from one level to another level to a higher level. You know, you have the Kedusha of a Kohen and a Nazir and so on. You keep going up and up. So too with regard to ishus, you can grade. Is there a verb gradate? No. To graduate. I don't know what the word is. Into different gradations of erva, of ishus. You can have a full-fledged ishus. You can have less than a full-fledged ishus. I'll give you an example. You can have, let's say, chetzi yashivcha, chetzi maschor, in which she has partial ishus. It could be, what other example can I give?
But she did have complete ishus.
Correct, but now that she became a sota, and the Torah imposes an isur, he can no longer have an intimacy with his wife. That already breaks down the ishus to some extent, and it's an incomplete ishus, and therefore she's excluded from yibum, and for that matter, chalitza. But if you ask me about whether or not somebody could have a relationship with her from the shuk, and if she hasn't yet received a get, she still is considered an ishus ish. I think we also discussed an incomplete ishus with regard to shir, meaning if he says chutz miploni or something like that. I even wonder what would be in a case of chayve lavin. I wonder if the ishus, I guess there the ishus is an absolute complete ishus. But wait a second. Oh, we said the chayve lavin, there's no yibum, there's only chalitza. But I don't know, maybe it's possible that that's also, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking already out of the, you know. So this is the question called Ma Rois. You know, why do you say that as far as get is concerned, the sota is an, you know, it's not an erva, she needs a get. But as far as yibum is concerned, she doesn't generate a zikas yibum because she's an erva. Od hiksha, halo matzinu b'machzir gushoso, she'afler Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur. Okay, we're just curious where this is. Oh, he says it's coming up, I think. Asova she'tumak sivba karayos, harehi oseres es sarasa. Oseres es tzarasa b'yibum. So I guess he was machzir gushoso, and she's an erva to the brother. Then he dies, and he has another wife. Oseres es tzarasa b'yibum. Komakom ein nifteres michalitza. Oh, in other words, again, I don't know if this is typical of all chayvei lavim, or it's only machzir gushoso for some reason. I mean, I guess we'd have to see that sugya inside. But as a result, there is a very, shall we say, complex definition of zika in this case. It's a zika that generates a chiyuv chalitza, but there's no yibum. Or is that only as far as the tsar is concerned? Just one second. Harehi. Oh, she's an erva. Ah, wait a minute. She's not an erva. She's not an erva. So I'm not sure. Does she need chalitza? Or just the tzar needs chalitza. It says here, harehi oseres es tzarasa b'yibum. Mm. Mikol makom enin nifteres michalitza. There's a dangling modifier here. I don't know. Eina, she, but there's a pronoun. I don't know who's the pronoun. Eina nifteres michalitza. Is that referring to the tzara or even to the machzeh gushaso herself? I don't know. It's not clear to me. The footnote doesn't. Just 1 second. Maybe the footnote will clarify that. Shalur Rabbi Yosi ben Kifa he atzma vare ptura bein min achalitza bein min ayiv. Oh, that's interesting. So I guess matzah gushaso is also tumah ksiv bekarayis, and that's a tour both of chalitza and yibum, and yet the tzara of a matzah gushaso requires chalitza. I mean, why chalitza not yibum? I don't know. But I guess the emphasis here in the Ramban is on the fact that she no longer can fall for yibum. So we see that this status of tumah ksiv b'karayis is enough to undermine yibum. And no, let's say it the other way around. That despite the fact that the status of a machzeh gushaso as tumah ksiv b'karayis is enough to undermine yibum in the case of tzoras machzeh gushaso, but nevertheless she needs chalitza. And Tosa says, in the case of a sota, she doesn't even need chalitza. Upirish. Now, who's the upirish here? Is this all part of the Ramban? I don't know. Not clear. Upirish. Shemakar ptur sota. Vadai michalitza. Oh, I'm sorry. Sota vadai. Michalitza, who may adrosha now. V'hoysalish acher v'lo liyovo. Now, where is this pasuk? Is this the pasuk in the parasha of Yibum? No, I think this pasuk is in the parasha of Get Krisus. We don't have a chumash here, do we? Actually, it's...
He doesn't tell you where the pasuk is. That's the only problem. What's about Yisalish Acher? Let me just see something here. The best thing would be probably a Torah Tmima, because he quotes all the drushes. Kikach ish ishu. Ubala vahaya imlo timtzachin beinav ki matza ba ervas davar v'kasav la sefer krisus v'nasan biyada v'shilcha mi beso v'yatza mi beso v'holcha v'haysa li ish acher. Correct? And that's the drasha here of Li'ish Acher, V'hoysa Li'ish Acher. Right, in the parasha of Ged. And the drasha is, according to Rav, V'lo Li'yava. V'lo Li'yava. In other words,
she cannot marry the brother of her wife, of her husband, who died without children. V'dorish Rav, Chosuv Zeh Lefotcho Legamre, Bein Min Achalitzu, Bein Min Ayibum. So when we say that the tzara of a sota, oh, just one second. We're not ready for the tzara of the sota. First, we want to know, does the sota fall for yibum? And the answer is that this pasuk v'hoisav liyishachar v'lo liyavam removes the sota from the parasha of yibum. Now we got to talk about the tzara of the sota. Umituma ksiv bekarayos hu doresh lasos es tzarasa kemosa. I don't know exactly how that works. Right, with regard to sota, the Torah uses the term tuma. So the tuma ksiv bekarayos means that just like there's a halacha that the erev apat is a patzara, that halacha applies in the case of a sota. Avol b'machzir grushoso, d'lo matzinu shepocho satora me'ayibum, eina ela oh. She becomes another case, a specific case of a more generic category called what? Called chayvei lavim. And chayvei lavim require chalitza. V'lo nemar bat tuma karayos, so chai ve'lavim have the status of requiring chalitza. And in the parasha of Machzik Rishoso, the Torah uses the word tuma, and tuma is ksiv bekarayos. That's only as far as yibum is concerned, but it has no impact on chalitza. So don't equate sota with machzik grushoso. In the case of sota, we have two drushas. We have one drush of oisalish achir to tell me that the sota is completely excluded from yibum, whether it's for chalitza or for yibum. And now we have another drusha of tuma ksiv bekarayos to tell me that the tzara has the same din that she has. In the case of Machzik Grushoso, the Torah never patted her up from Yibum. It's just Halach of Chayvei Lavim. Chayvei Lavim require Chalitza. And Tuma Ksiv BeKarayos would only indicate that the Sara has the same status as she has. And if she requires Chalitza, then the Tzara likewise will require Chalitza. So that's something interesting. Okay. Now, let's see. Now, what's the status of a memaenis? But we said that miun, in a case of kiddushei ketan al yedei achia, is like a get, and it terminates ishus derabbanan, but it works l'mafreya. Correct. Now, let's ask the following question. If miun works l'mafreya, then he was never married to her. So she was never Eishes Achiv. So wait a minute, let's look for a minute at the Gemara here.
just to review the statement of Shmuel on Daf Yud Beis about Miyun. Where is Shmuel? I see one statement of Shmuel. I'm not sure if that's the one we need. And Shmuel says, straight. Omar Rav Lili Bar Memel, Omar Mar Ukvam Shmuel is Tsaras Hamama Enes Asura. Okay, so that's right in the middle of the page, a little bit below Tosas Dimaskal Mai. On Yud Beis Amenach, Ruvein v'Shimon Achim, Nasa Shimon es Sora, Shehi Yisoma Ketana, v'Nesuin d'Rabbonon, v'chein Nasa es Rivka, Meis Shimon b'Libonim, Naflu Nashav, Lifnei Ruvein l'Yibum, U'miyana Sora b'Yavam. Shehu Ruvein. The Akar Bazelam Afreyas Anisuin Shenissa Lishimon. Arisara Asura Leruven. The Osiris is Rivka Tsarasa. Well, that's pretty strange, no? We're saying that Mian works on Afreya and Shimon married a Yisoma v'kedusha miyun plus another woman. He dies, and Sara now this ketan is mema'enes in the yavama, which is Reuven in this case. There's an akira of the nesu l'mafreya, and Sara is asura l'Reuven. So why is Sara asura l'Reuven if the marriage between Shimon and Sara l'mafreya is nullified? And not only that, it says Oseres Gamis Rivka Tsarasa. Shimon was married to another woman. So the Gemara says Laman. He says here Lemia Sura Tsaras Hamema Enes Ilema Lishar Haachim Hashtehi Gufa Sharia. The Mama Enes is allowed to marry the other brothers. The Omar Shmuel Miana Bizeh Muteres Bazeh is Bitsarasa mi boy Ella Lidide. So Shmuel says that the Tsaras Mamaenes is only Asura to that Yavam to which, or yeah, I guess to which she was Mama Enes. And I'm assuming now that Midrabbanon there's an Erva Yaveshisak. It can only be the Rabbanon. And he says, Umaishna Mama Enes, the Sharia Li Achim. So Shmuel is going to allow the other brothers to marry this girl after Miyun. And why? Dilo Avdabahu Maisa. Is Tsaranami lo of the Be Maisa? And the Gemara answers Gzeira Mishum Tsaras Mima Enes. So the Gemara quotes Shmuel as saying, Miyano Bezeh Muteres Bazeh. He says that Shitas Harif
The rov harishonim yishedas Shmuel yikidas ula lehalon shehamiyun bayovam enu chal bi'etzem hazika elahu okeres nesuya meslam afreya. I vaguely remember this. Ulefi zeh emiyana b'chol hayivamim, which I don't know why she has to do that, harei muteres l'shuk b'lo chalitza. Wow. This is pretty wild. He's saying that when there's a miyun to one of the brothers, she falls for yivum to the other brothers. And she cannot get married to the shuk without chalitza. Again, all this has to be the rabbanon, I think. But what does he mean when he says that based on ula, the miun in the yavam is chal bi etzem azika? It's not chal, excuse me, in the etzem azika, but it's only oker nesuya meslam afreya. Ah, so there is a zika even after miyun to the other brothers. Unless she's mema'enis in all the brothers. But if she's only mema'enis in one brother, that's not okay, the zika, then she's misyabemis l'shara achim. But I don't get it. Why is she misyabemis l'shara achim when as a result of the zika, you're oker the nesuya meslam afreya? So I think there's a theory here of relativity, that with regard to that particular yavam, she was oker the nesuya afreya. That's at the din in Yibu. It has nothing to do with her zika to the entire family of all the brothers. That zika is still valid. And the question is why? Why is it valid when we say that the miyun is chalim afreya? If the miyun is chalim afreya, I don't know why. What's the logic here that she falls for yibum to the other brothers? I mean, she was never married to the late brother because she was mamanis. But the answer is there's miyun on the yavam that's not relevant to the brother that she was married to. She was never ma'enis during his lifetime. So the miyun now is chal vis-a-vis the yavam. It could be on all the yavamim, or it could be only on one yavam. And the nafkamina is that it's, if it's on one yavam, then the other brothers can be, any of the other, one of the other brothers could be miyamim. Okay. So let's just make a note of where we got up to here, so we'll be able to pick it up next week. We're up to Masiv Rav Misharshia, towards the bottom of Daf Tesvav. Correct? How many lines up is it? It's about 15 lines up, something like that. Okay then, so let me take this opportunity to wish you a Chodesh Tov and Shabbat Shalom. Very good. Now I have to figure out